Okay, today we're learning Bechorot Mem Zayin. We're going to go on in the, we're going to refer back, we're going to have a whole bunch of things that then refer back to our Mishnah and bring questions on the different issues. So different machlokot emaraim. We're going to start with a really interesting machloket here. We're going to see two machlokot of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Rish Lakish that are interconnected. The second one is dafka really interesting, about converts. So Itmar, hayu lo banim v'yoto ove kochavim v'nitkayer. He had sons when he was non-Jewish, and then he converts. So now the question is, when he has children from his new marriage, could have still been married to the same woman, but right, new existence, is that considered now a bechor? So Rabbi Yochanan Omer, ein lo bechor lenachala. Obviously, since it's the father, we're talking about bechor for nachala. We wouldn't be talking about pidyon haben, because that goes by the mother. Or whatever. This is our issue right now. We're focusing on nachala. He says, ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Okay? He doesn't have a b'chor l'nachala because the ones, when he wasn't Jewish, so they weren't part of dinei nachala at all, and the ones, now that he's Jewish, are not what we saw yesterday, reshit ono, right? That close feeling he has to his firstborn son. He doesn't have that with this new son. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer, yesh lo b'chor l'nachala. Rish Lakish says, no, when he becomes a Jew, now his firstborn, when he's a Jew, gets his pishnaim, his double. Rabbi Yochanan, so now we're going to see the reason. This is the classic structure of an itmar. They bring you the topic. Hayu lo banim v'yoto ovei kochavim v'nitkayer. That's the topic. Then they start telling you, it's actually not the full topic because that's just giving a case. It doesn't say what the issue is related to. Right? But then we get Rabbi Yochanan says, ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Rish Lakish says, yesh lo. Now we're going to see the reason. So Rabbi Yochanan omer, ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Because right, he already had his reshit ono, and he can't become a bechor because he's not even, he wasn't Jewish. And even if he converts now, he's still, remember we said, they're not connected anymore through yichus. V'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer, yesh lo bechor l'nachala. He dafka gets, why? Because ger shenitkayer kekatan shenolad. I mean, we've seen this statement a lot of times. That once he converts, it's as if it's a whole new birth, which means, as you said before, Naomi, that he's like a new entity, right? His new existence. He's now got a brand new existence, so his new child will be the Bechor. The Azdu L'Tamayu, and they're consistent within their Shitot. Why? Here's an interesting machloket. De Itmar, hayu lo banim b'yoto ve'kochavim b'nitgayer. If he had children, again, that's why I said this isn't a very helpful topic, because it's the exact same topic sentence here, right? That both machlokot start with the same topic sentence. It doesn't tell you what the issue is, but we'll see in a minute. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ki yem piriya uribya. If he had children already before, can we say he was already mekayim his mitzvah, piriya uribya, when he was a non-Jew? Fascinating, right? To say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he already was mekayim mitzvah piriya uribya. He doesn't need to have children when he gets remarried. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, lo kiyem. Right? He wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, because how could he be mekayim the mitzvah? He wasn't even Jewish, right? It's radical to say that he was mekayim the mitzvah of piriya uribya from when he was a non-Jew. So, right, and you see how this is consistent, because again, right, so we're going to see, right, Rabbi Yochanan says what he did before, right, doesn't kind of, it's not exactly the same thing. But in theory, we're saying he was already Mekayim. We don't cut him off from everything from before. Likewise, Reshit Ono is still considered his child, which means that he doesn't have a new Reshit Ono. His new Bechor is not a Bechor. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kiyem, he already was Mekayim Piri Rivia. Why? Because the Pasuk says, okay, this is a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Lo Tohu Bra'a Lashevet Yitzara. The world wasn't created for nothing, right? It was created so that people inhabit the land. And what did he do? Well, he made sure that people inhabit the land. This is like saying, basically, very simple terms, it's not the ma'asev piriya uribya, it's the result that's important. Which, by the way, unfortunately, if you lose a child, right, then also, in other words, you haven't fulfilled, and you did at some point. But in any case, what are we saying here? Lo tobra ala shevet yitzara. In other words, the world was created for you. The world, the mitzvah piri uribya is la shevet yitzara, and he now has inhabitants walking on the land. So it doesn't matter when he did it, whether he was Jewish or not. The totza'a, the result, is what's important, and not the action. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar lo kiyem piri uribya. Okay, Rish Lakish says, no, why not? Because Gershon is Kayer Kekatan Shenola Dami Ve, and therefore what? The children you brought into the world earlier are no longer considered as children. So how can you possibly say these Makayim the Mitzvah through those children? Very fascinating question.
But they're not, I'm sorry, they're not really they're not really discussing the mitzvah itself because it was said in Bereishit, nachon?
Yeah, well, they're not quoting from where it says, right.
When there were no Jews, so it should be any human.
So you're saying because it was incumbent upon every human to do this, so therefore he was somewhat commanded as a Ben Noach, you would say.
Was it one of the seven?
So I don't think it's listed under the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Right, I can't remember now, but I don't think it's listed there, right? I don't think it's one of the seven. But right, it was a mitzvah that was given before, but I don't think it, I don't recall that it's a mitzvah Bnei Noach. But even if it is, you still have that problem of Rish Lakish, which is that even if you would say that, the problem is that now he's a Jew, and therefore his tzatzaim, anyone he gave birth to before, are no longer considered his children halachically. So you can't possibly say, according to Rish Lakish, that he's Mekayim Mitzvah Puri Ruvia through them. It's Rabbi Yochanan, this really big chiddush, who really says, we don't care. Like, you brought children into the world, great. You know, there is now more people populating the world. Okay. So now the question is, if basically their shitot are the same about can you say he's starting from scratch and therefore it's b'chol l'nachala and therefore he needs to do the mitzvah of puri reviv according to Rish Lakish, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no, the child from the beginning, both he was able to become the mitzvah of puri reviv through him, and that guy was considered reshit ono, and therefore he doesn't ever have a b'chor after that once he converts. So why do you need both of these machlokot? Couldn't you have just learned one from the other? So they say, no, tzricha. De'itmar baha, now really the difference between them lies in Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan brought this pasuk from Yeshayahu as the proof for puri reviv and had a different reason by the Nachala, whereas Rish Lakish basically says the same thing in both, that he's katan, right, Gershon itkayer katan shenoladami. So we're going to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a difference between the two, and that's going to affect why you need both. Because idmar b'hakamaita, if we just had the machloket about the b'chor l'nachala, you would say b'haka amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. That's where Rish Lakish would have said what he said, Mishum di biyoto ove kochavim la b'nei nachala ninu, because dinei nachala didn't apply when he was a non-Jew. So therefore, how could you say there was reshit ono? Of course, there was no reshit ono before that. There was no din of nachala. Ela beha, but when it comes to puri reviv, maybe he would say, ema modele la Rabbi Yochanan, why? Dilo tobra ala shevi yitzara. Maybe he would view puri reviv as different based on the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan brought. Behavid le shevet, and he did fulfill that. V'itmar baha, and if you just had it in the second case that they have the machloket, what would you say there? Maybe baha ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would only say it when it comes to puri reviv, because the important is the totza'ah, the result. Aval baha, but in the first case, you might say, ema modele le Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Maybe there he would agree with Rish Lakish, and therefore it's tzricha. That's why you need both cases, because it's not so clear it would hold across the board. Now we're going to bring some questions on Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So again, Rabbi Yochanan said that ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Okay, so now we're going to bring up our Mishnah as a problem. And that's why we got here in the first place, because our Mishnah is going to contradict. How so? Our Mishnah says, mi shelo hayu lo banim, a man who didn't have children, v'nasa isha shekvar yalda, he marries a woman who already had children. So what did our Mishnah say? It's not, right, it's b'chor l'nachala, because the father never had children, but it's not a b'chor for Kohen, there's no din of pidyon ben, because she already had children. Okay? But the Mishnah, if we just ended there, it would be fine. But the Mishnah continues now and brings other cases, which are seemingly unnecessary, because once you say that, if it's not the woman's first child, there's no b'chor l'kohen, so then why would you need to bring these upcoming cases? It should be obvious that anytime he doesn't have children, it's b'chor l'nachala, no matter what the status of the woman is. If it's the man's first child, it's always b'chor l'nachala. So why do we have to bring up these other cases? That if she was odash shifcha, had a child, and then nishtachrura, and then was freed, and then had another child with this man who never had children, or oda ovedet kochavim, v'nitgaira, u'mishabat l'Israel yalda, when she was a non-Jew, she had children, then she converts, and then when she becomes Jewish, she now has another child with this man. Vlada bechor lenachala ve'eino bechor lekohen. So since she already had children, right, it's not a bechor lekohen, but since he never had children, it's a bechor lenachala. Now, yelda miman, who is she having this offspring with? What type of person is this man that she's having an offspring with? If it's just a regular Jew who never had children, then those cases are totally unnecessary because it's no different from a regular woman who already had children. What's the difference? No matter what, if he never had children, doesn't matter what the status of the wife is, doesn't matter how many children she had, doesn't matter if she was Jewish, if she was not Jewish, whatever it was, no matter what, it's going to be a b'chor l'nachala. So therefore, my ira giyora b'shivcha, afilu ba'Yisrael nami, in which case there's no chiddush of bringing those cases. So therefore, the reason they must have brought the shivcha and the obede kochavim must be to say what? Okay, and we're going to specifically focus on the obede kochavim. El alav migir shahayu lo banim v'nitgayer. The assumption is it must be that the Ovede Kochavim who converts, right, had children already, and she had children, presumably, with this Ger, who also had children. Then he was Nitgayer, and when it says he didn't have any children, it means he didn't have any children since he was Nitgayer. And what did we learn? Well, since it's her, not her first, Petarechem, so there's no Bechor LeKohen, but there is Bechor LeNachala. So what do you see here? Against Rabbi Yochanan, a non-Jew who converts, even if he had children before, he must, right, he's going to get a Bechor LeNachala from his new children, right? Bekatane Bechor LeNachala. So that, again, they're pushed into a corner to say it must be a case where it was a Ger Shayu Labanim, but he's called Mishalo Hayu Labanim, because otherwise there's no Chiddush for those later cases. So then they say, no, no, no. We're going to tell you why you can explain it simply from a Yisrael, and there is a Chiddush. Lo la'olam Yisrael shalo hayu lo banim. We're really talking about the Giyoret or the Shivcha married a Jew who never had children. Ve'eino b'chor l'kohen itzrichale. What's the Chiddush of those cases? To say that it's not a b'chor l'kohen. Why is that a Chiddush? Because you might have thought, it's obvious. La'afukei midi Rabbi Yossi Aglili da'amar b'chor l'nachala v'l'kohen sh'ne'amar petarechem b'Yisrael ad sh'yifteru rechem Yisrael kamash malan dilo. The reason is that a regular woman who already had children, of course her petarechem isn't going to be chayav, but a giyoret or a shivcha that became Jewish, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who is Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, we said that what? In those cases, what are we going to say? Since, right, he says, it says, Petarechem bi Yisrael, that means your firstborn when you become a Jew is a Bechor LeKohen. And comes our Mishnah to tell you, even if she converted or was freed and became Jewish and had a child then, if she already had children before, we don't consider that Petarechem. We don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. And therefore, it could still be a case where the father was Jewish and just never had children, and therefore it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan's case that it was about a gear. Okay, but now we're going to bring a case that seems very clear that it's Rabbi Yochanan's case. Tashma, hayulo banim biyoto obey kochavim. That's exactly our case. It's a braita. And it says here, if he had children when he was a non-Jew, vinitgayer, and then he converts, yeshlo b'chor l'nachala. Okay, and what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Ain lo b'chor l'nachala, because it's not reshit, oh no. So here it says explicitly, like Rish Lakish. So how are we going to answer this? Amar Ravina v'item Rav Acha, either Ravina or Rav Acha answered this. Ha badai Rabbi Yossi aglilihu. This must be Rabbi Yossi Aglili's interpretation. Now notice, what did Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? That a woman who converts, we're going to call it petarechem. He didn't say it about nachala, but we're going to assume that he would make the comparison to nachala. So let's read it inside. Huda amar petarechem b'Yisrael ad shiftiru rechem Yisrael. In other words, even when she becomes a Jew, it's going to be the first when she's a Jew, even if she's already had children before. We're still going to make her do pidyon haben. V'yalef ihu mina dida. And we're going to learn for the man, for nachala, from petarechem. Okay, right? The whole premise of our Mishnah was these laws are different and they have different, right? But there's a whole, we're going to see a line of thinking that we can learn one from the other.
Makes okay? sense, because one is right. So much more chamor. Opening a petarechem, that's like, if you're going to say that's okay, then the other one should surely be.
Yafeh. So one could say that, right? If you're going to say petarechem, then of course nachala, which doesn't even go by the father anymore anyway, they're not even considered related, you know, then maybe all the more so, possibly. Or you could say, it's a dim yuchad, a petarechem, it says specifically there, be Yisrael, it doesn't say anything by nachala, so maybe not. That's the debate. Okay. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava. Now Rav Ada Bar Ava is going to give us a halacha. Levia sheyalda bina patur michamesh slayim. We talked about this not so long ago. A bat Levi, right, the daughter of a Levi who has a child, right? We talked about this as you know, bat kohen or bat Levi. Generally, there's not much to it that you're a bat Levi or a bat kohen. This is one of the ramifications that your child doesn't do a pidyon haben. So specifically, he's talking about a Levia. Okay, a bat Levi that has offspring is patur michamesh slayim. Now they want to know, well, who's he talking about that she got pregnant from? Di Abra Miman. Okay, you have to forget about what we know la halacha. Okay, we know la halacha that anyone who's married to a Jew, their son, right, if she's a bat Levi or she's a bat Kohen, no pidyon haben. But let's just pretend we don't know that right now. And they're raising the question, who is she impregnated from? Ilema di Abra mi Kohenu mi Levi. Well, if it's Kohen Levi is the father, we know for sure they're patur from pidyon haben. So my iria leviyah, it shouldn't say leviyah, because I feel the Yisraelit nami. It would even be a Yisraelit. So ela di Abra mi Yisrael, if you want to say that she got pregnant from someone in Yisrael, don't we say lemishbechotam lebeit avotam k'tiv? We go, when it comes to Shvatim, everything follows the father. So this son should be considered a Yisrael if she got pregnant from a Yisrael. So the child should be Yisrael, should be chayav and pidyon haben. Again, I said you have to ignore what we know halacha lamasa because we don't say that. But the logic makes a lot of sense. When it comes to Shvatim, we go after the father. And therefore, it can't be that. So we're going to have two answers. Amar Rav Papa, di Amar me'obei kochavim. Rav Papa disagrees with what we say halacha lamasa. And he says, the case is, the bat Levi, the son is patur for pidyon haben, if she's married to a non-Jew or she the son is from a non-Jew. Below tema aliba lamanda amar ein mizahamim et havlad, and don't say it's only according to the one who says we don't. The vlad is not messed up. Okay, there's a debate what exactly this means. It seems okay. If you look in Rashi, it says masechet Yevamot, they say ika lamanda amar ove kochavim haba ba Israel havlad kasher debatar ime shadinale. The whole question is, what's the status of an offspring between, if you remember, we learned this in Yevamot, what's the status of an offspring of a non-Jew, a non-Jewish man and a woman? What's the status? Do we say, it's not mizuham, ruin, you know, what's the word, contaminated, meaning it's still considered a Jew, and then the question is, what's the yichus of that child? Well, it goes after the mother. So that would be obvious. If we'd say, Eim is a hamim, then it would make sense. Obviously, a Levi with a non-Jew, we're going to call that son a Levi, and it'll be patur from pidyon haben. But he comes and says, Ela afilu lamanda amar mizahamim et havlad. We don't view the vlad after the mother, right? And then the question is, right, do we view him as a mamzer? Do we view him as not Jewish at all? You know, what's his status exactly? Even if we say mizahamim et havlad, he says, Levi pasul mikre. He'll be pasul. Okay, first of all, one of the opinions about what it means pasul, it means, and this is very relevant nowadays because we have a lot of mixed marriages, right, in Israel, in particular from the Russian community where the father's Jewish in a lot of cases and the father's not Jewish, the mother is. It could be the reverse also, but in the cases where the mother's Jewish and the father's not, the offspring, there's an issue, can that offspring marry a Kohen or not? There's a big issue about that. Their offspring marrying a Kohen because they call it pasul. They're pasul to marry a Kohen, and it's Kohanim, have to marry better lineage, and maybe that's something that's pasul to Kohanim. So in any case, even if you say mizahamim et havlad, still it would be a Levi who's pasul. In other words, we'd still call it a Levi, in which case you could still say, according to Rav Papa, the vlad of this bat Levi with a non-Jew, that's the case where it's patur mechamesh shla'im. If it's with a Yisrael, chayam and chamesh shla'im, because it goes after the father. It only goes after mother when there's no father to give the lineage. Mar b'rei d'Rav Yosef amar mishmei d'Rava, but he has a different approach. He says, which is what we say, di abra mi Yisrael. And now, if we always go by the father, why are we going by the mother here? V'shanei ha'atam damar kra pete rechem, v'pete rechem tala rachmana. Here, since it says it's the first to come out of the womb, it connects it to the womb of the mother. Now, it's not exclusively connected to the womb of the mother, because even if the father's a kohen or a Levi, it's going to be patur. But in addition, we add the mother to the picture also, and we're going to exempt you even if the mother. Okay, so he thinks when this statement of Rav Ada Bar Ava about this Leviyah Shealda Ben Apatur Mechamesh Shla'im, according to Mar Bar of Yosef, it's a classic case that we would think about a Levi with a Jewish person, according to Rav Papa, it's only with a non-Jew. With a Jew, it would go after the father, and it would be chayav and pidyon haben. So now the Gemara is going to bring a question. Tanan says in our Mishnah, Misha yulo banim. Now we're going to the next case, right? We started this today with Misha loha yulo banim. Now we're going to talk about the last case, or the later cases in the Mishnah. If he had sons already, vinasai shasha lo yada, and he marries a woman who never had children, or nitgaira meuberet, or she converted when she was pregnant, meaning she never had children before, but now converted pregnant, or nishtachrira meuberet, or she was freed while she was pregnant, viyalda, okay, and then she had a baby. We're actually not going to focus on those cases. We're going to focus on the next two. He v'kohenet, he v'livia, he v'isha shekvar yalda. If her offspring, the new bechor, right, it's her first child, but it gets mixed up with the child of a bat kohen, or the child of a bat levi, or the child of a woman who already had children, the assumption being what? All those three women are not chayav and bechor. Right? Now what happens? Her offspring gets mixed up at birth. We never knew whose belonged to who. So, since the father of that child that was not married, right, he was the one married to a regular woman, not a Bat Kohen or a Bat Levi, he has to give the Chamesh Slayim because he for sure is Chayav. It doesn't matter on which child, right? It doesn't matter, right? But for sure, he's going to have to give Chamesh Slayim. But it's not going to be a Bechor L'Nachala because the brothers can come along and say, hey, prove you're our brother. You can't prove it. We're not giving you the money. So now what's obvious, implicit in this? That the Bat Kohen or the Bat Levi would be Patur from the Chamesh Sla'im. So now again, we're going to have the question, who is she married to? Okay, was she married to a non-Jew or a Jew? Okay, so let's just keep going. They're just finishing to quote the Mishnah, even though it's not relevant anymore. We explained that yesterday already. What are these cases? Bechor lekohen ve'eino bechor lenachala, as I just said. Now, what's the assumption? Michlal, from here we can assume, like I said, dekiuna v'levia pturin. They're pturin, right? So now, di abram iman. Who were they pregnant with? According to our papa, they would only be patur if they got pregnant from a non-Jew. So now we're going to prove that it can't be the case here. Mima, ilamadi avram mikohen v'levi. If it's that she got pregnant from a kohen and levi, well then there'd be no point to say kohenet or levia, right? Ihachi ma iriyah kohenet v'levia afilu bat yisrael nami. So it can't be that. Ela di avram me'avei kochavim. If you want to say she was the avram me'avei kochavim, well now we have a separate problem. Because until now, we only talked about the Levi. A Levi who marries, right, who a Leviyah, a Bat Levi who marries a non-Jew, according to Rav Papa, was the case where she's patur from Pidyon HaBen. And why is that? Because, or he's patur, right? The father's patur from Pidyon HaBen of the son is patur. Why? Because the son is miyuchas after her as a Levi pasul, we said, right, in the worst case scenario. But always going to be considered by the Levi. So now we're going to have a problem, though, with the Bat Kohen. Notice he only said about a Levi, not a Bat Kohen. So we're going to say like this. It's going to take a little while to get to the question. So now they're going to say, Kohenet Ptura. You're going to say, a Bat Kohen who marries a non-Jew, that offspring is going to be Patur from Pidyon HaBen. Can't possibly be. Why? Because Hamar Rav Papa himself said, Badiklam Rabba, Rabba questioned the following. Kohenet Shinit Abram Yavei Kochavim Mahu. A Bat Kohen who gets pregnant from a non-Jew, what's the status of the child? V'amina le, lav hainu d'rabada bar'ava, d'amar l'viyah she'yaldah b'nah patur mechamesh la'im. And I said to him, isn't that exactly the case, right, where Papa's consistent with his shita, isn't that exactly the case where Adabarava said, just like a Bat Levi, she'yaldah b'nah patur mechamesh la'im, also the Bat Kohen that has offspring with a non-Jew, they should be patur. V'amar li, but Rabbi answered me, Hachi hashta, you can't compare the two cases. Why? Bishlama Livia Bikidushata Kaima. A Livia who marries a non-Jew still retains her status as a Bat Levi. How do we know this? Titanya Livia Shinishbait. If a Livia was taken captive, the assumption is when a woman's taken captive, we can assume she was raped. There, and that's based on what went on in their day, right? That's what happened generally. Oh, Shinivala Bilatsnut, or if a Livia went and slept with someone she wasn't supposed to, you know, be latznut. Notes nimla mina maser v'ochelet. She still has rights as a Bat Levi to eat the maser. And therefore, also if she has offspring with a non-Jew, we're going to still count her as a Bat Levi. Aval kohenet, But a bat kohen is not the same. Here's another relevant issue about a bat kohen. She's different. Kevandi ba'ala, once she sleeps with a non-Jew, havia zara. She's kind of rejected, thrown out of the group of kohanim. She can't eat truma, and that's because the kedusha of kahuna is much higher level than the kedusha of Levi. And therefore, she gets thrown out. Which means, how could we possibly say her offspring is miyuchas achareha? Can't call the offspring a kohen, in which case we can't say, or at least miyuchas to a kohen, in which case we can't say that her offspring would be patur from chamesh slaim. Which means what? The Rav Papa is stuck now, because according to this, there's no way to explain that our Mishnah about he the kohenet, right? Her offspring gets mixed up with the daughter of a kohen. If, according to Rav Papa, the only case where a kohen, they were a levi, a leviyah, is p'tura from chamesh la'im, as if she's with a non-Jew, well, then the kohenet should be the same. And our Mishnah says a kohenet is p'tura. And as according to Rav Papa, a bat kohen shouldn't be p'tura from chamesh la'im, in which case the Mishnah makes no sense. So, hani chalamar b'reid Rav Yosef, who said, mishmei d'rav adamari yabram Yisrael. Moche labadi Abram Yisrael. The Mishnah makes perfect sense according to the other shita that she was impregnated from a Jew. Ela l'Rav Papa b'mai moche la, but he has no way to explain our Mishnah. So what's he going to say about our Mishnah? Well, guess what? You thought it was a kohanah and a leviyah, kohenet and a leviyah, meaning a bat kohen or a bat levi. He's going to have to explain, no, it's not. Lo lamdi Abram Yikohen v'hi bat Yisrael. It's actually any woman, not a bat kohen or a bat levi, her husband is a kohen or a Yisrael. And that's the case, that my offspring gets mixed up with the offspring of a Yisrael who was married to a kohen, who's patur from pidyon haben. Now, obviously, the problem is, well, why they call her a kohenet or a leviyah, right? But my karele kohenet, dibina kohen, she's called because her son is a kohen, so they call her a kohenet. The point, you can almost see that there's logic to say this, because the Mishnah is saying, he, her offspring, the woman's, with another woman's offspring. Now, since you're talking only about the women, you want to come up with a case where the woman would be patur from pidyon haben, so you'd have, where the woman's offspring would be patur. Since you're talking about the woman, so you can't say, you know, they didn't want to say so many words, a Yisraelitche, you know, they wanted to make it short, so they just called her a kohenet, which really means she's married to a kohen. Not perfect, but that's the way Rav Papa would have to explain it, because Rav Papa makes no sense otherwise. Again, there's a very simple way to read it, which is the way we read, the way we understand halacha, which is even if she's married to a Jew, and that makes perfect sense. It's only according to Rav Papa that we have to read it in this way. Okay, new machloke. Itmar. Kohen shemet v'iniach ben halal. We now have a kohen who married a grusha. Now, we always have this very strange scenario where he marries a grusha. It's a sore for him to do that. But he is not called a halal. He's still a kohen. But his son is called a halal, who's a pasul kohen. Okay, the son gets penalized for the punishment, you know, for what the father did. So it's problematic. But anyway, the kohen dies, and he leaves a ben halal. Now, if the halal is not considered a kohen, so you have to do pidyon haben on the halal. If the father does pidyon haben, what does he do? He separates chamesh shlaim, but since he's a kohen, he can actually be zocha to the money. Now, in the event that the father doesn't do pidyon haben for the son, this comes up in Kiddushin, those are the mitzvot ha'av al haben and haben al ha'av, things that, you know, the father's supposed to do for the son, and things the son's supposed to do for the father, right, kibbut ava'im, and things like that. But the things the father's supposed to do for the son are pidyon haben. But if the father doesn't do it, the son is chayav. So now, if the father did it, he would get to keep the money, but if, because he's a kohen. If the son does it, he's not considered a kohen. Does he get to keep the money or not? Because his chiyuv comes from his father's chiyuv, and his father would have been able to keep the money. But he can't keep the money. So the question is, can he keep the money or can't he? So if the father dies and left the ben chalal, Rav Chista amar haben chayav lifdot et atzmo. Okay, according to Rav Chista, he has to pay the pidyon haben money to someone else. Rabba bar Huna amar ein chayav lifdot et atzmo. And now the Gemara is going to explain the machlok. If the father died after 30 days, meaning the chiyuv already kicked in, then everyone agrees, he doesn't have to go give the money to a kohen. Why? Sharei, this is very fascinating. Even though the father never separated the money and did anything, it's as if zacha aviv v'pidyono, since the chiyuv already kicked in, it was as if the father already gained the rights to the pidyon haben money. Very interesting, even though it's all theoretical. He never did anything about it. And therefore, the son, as his yoresh, as his heir, is allowed to keep that money. But ki pliga hecha demeta ab betoch 30 yom. The machloket is if he dies within the first 30 days before the father, before the chiyuv even kicked in. So Rav Chista amar haben chayav liftot et atzmo dehalo zacha aviv lepidyono. Right, the father was never zoche to the kesef hapidyon because the chiyuv never kicked in. Rabba bar Rav Huna amar ein haben chayav liftot et atzmo. Why? Because now what happens? He can separate the pidyon money, but he doesn't have to give it to anyone. Because again, what does this always go back to? Does he have to pay money to someone? Well, could he have a claim that you don't have any to, let's say, the local kohen? You don't have rights to this money. You have no rights to this money. Why? Damarle, he could claim atina mikoch gavra de lo mati lishta uyedina bahadeh. My chiyuv comes from the chiyuv of my father. If my father were here, you'd never be able to get anywhere with him. He wouldn't have to listen to you. He wouldn't have to give you the money. And since I'm coming to do something my father didn't do for me, well, I shouldn't have to pay you either. Now they want to question this logic, okay, based on our Mishnah. That's how we're getting, okay, because you wonder, what does it have to do with our Mishnah? So they're going to bring a case in our Mishnah and say, why don't they make the same claim there? That again, what's the claim? Since you'd have had no case against my father, and if he wouldn't have listened to you, let's put it this way, because that's where really the focus is going to be. If you brought my father to court, he wouldn't have had to listen to you, or he wouldn't have listened to you. So therefore, I don't have to listen to you. Sounds like a little childish, right? My father didn't have to listen to you, I didn't have to listen to you. But yeah, that's what he's basically saying. So now they say, look at our Mishnah. It's not. Our Mishnah says, Nitgaira me'uberet b'chor le'kohen. If she converts while she's pregnant, right? And if you remember, Rashi there said what? That also the father converted. We've learned this when we did the Mishnah. They both converted. Okay? We're going to say it's b'chor le'kohen, but not le'nachala, because again, it doesn't follow the father, because the father, right, converted also. But it is b'chor le'kohen, because she never had any offspring before. V'amai, le'male, now why is it a b'chor le'kohen? That means she has to give the money to the kohen, right? Or the father has to. V'amai, le'male, atina mikoch gavra de'lo matzeh lishtu yedina. This is a very strange line. Rashi says that the son can say, or you know, they can say, my chiyuv comes from someone who would never listen anyway. Now, let's say the mother is supposed to pay the money for her son. She could say, since the husband's a non-Jew and he would never listen to you in your courts, then therefore, I don't have to pay the kesef hapidyon. Now, this is strange because Rashi on the page before said the father converted. Okay, so either you're saying that geirim, right, don't really listen to courts. That's a little weird. Okay, so Rashi is a little difficult. The Rashash says it's more that the father would never have to listen because the father could say, I don't owe you money for this son of mine because this son of mine isn't actually my son because I converted now. And because I converted, my children from before are no longer my children. I got her pregnant when I was a non-Jew. He has nothing to do with me. So likewise, the mother could claim, well, if, you know, the whole call comes, the father's got the chiyuv mitzvah pidyon alav, and he wouldn't have had to do it because he could claim he's not even my son. And therefore, you can't take money from me. So likewise, I could say the same. So if that's really a claim, why don't we say it's not a b'chor l'kohen? Because they could use that claim. Okay? So what do they answer? Shane ove kochavim delet lechais. This case is a unique circumstance because there's no yichus. But you can't say this. That's why this because there's no yichus, therefore he's not even miyuchas to the father, and the father's not even in the picture. When it comes to the father, you can say, when the father was Jewish, right, you say, well, I came mikoch my father. My father wouldn't have had to pay the money because he was a Kohen. I don't have to pay the money. But here, the child himself or the mother can't say, this comes from the koch of the father. The father's not miyuchas ala bichla. He's not even his father for all intents and purposes. So therefore, you can't make the same claim here. And now we're going to see the psak about this issue. Again, what's the machloket? A kohen shemet b'niach ben chalal. Rav Chista says the son has to do the pidyon. Again, assuming the father died within the first 30 days. And Rabbi Rahuna says he doesn't. Let's see what the halacha is. Amar Rabbi Shimon Yasinya, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kohen shemet b'toch 30 b'niach ben chalal. Haben chayav liftot et atzmo shelo zacha ha'av b'pidyono. It depends on when the father died, which goes back to Rav Chista, who said it depends. Okay. V'chein mi shelo shata acharei ba'ala shlosha chodashim. So now we talk about this case where she hadn't waited in between husbands 3 months, in which case we don't know who's the real father, so therefore he's not a bechor l'nachala, because again, the brothers could make a claim and say, hey, who's to say, right, you're not from our family, you're not from our family. Now, what does it seem to imply? Something interesting. It seems to say he's not a bechor l'nachala, right? Bechor l'nachala hu lo have. But what does it sound like? He can still get nachala, he just doesn't get the pishnayim. Do you agree that that's implicit? It says in the Mishnah, he's not a bechor for nachala. It doesn't say he's not nochel at all. So now they ask an obvious question. Ha kepashut shakel, right? Therefore, it sounds like he gets nachala like a regular, right? Pashut is not a bechor, meaning he does get one portion. Vamai. Why? Why should he get any portion? If he's suffic, who's his father? Every time he goes to one side, they'll say, oh no, you might be from the other father. No, you might be from the other father. Everyone can push him off, again, based on if you're alav haraya. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, he said, you're implying the wrong thing. Don't say b'chor l'nachala. He's not a b'chor l'nachala, but he does get regular nachala. No, no, no. Lo nitzacha ela l'bacharav. When it says they know b'chor l'nachala, it means the following. V'hachi kamar. B'chor l'kohen, he is a b'chor l'kohen, but haba acharav ein b'chor l'nachala. But the next one in line, since he's safek and we don't know which one, you might have thought, well, the next son who's born maybe is a b'chor l'nachala, and that's the chidush of the Mishnah. The next one, since he's a safek b'chor, he's also not a b'chor l'nachala. But now they say, why don't you come up with this solution? V'lichtivu harsha'a l'hadadeh, right? Yipoy koach, right? Where someone could say, I'll give you power of attorney. Or why don't we go in together, the number one and number two, and say, look, if each one would only get one portion, but together, one could get double portion and one single portion, and they could go together and write a deal and say, listen, if you're the bechor, I'll share with you, right? And they could each get one and a half. So why don't they do it like that? So maybe you'll say v'chitema, maybe you could do that. And matnitin in our mission is just referring to shelo baharsha, that they didn't do it baharsha. Can't say that because hamakwina lakaman baharsha. I'm not going to get into the details now, but the Mishnah Mamchenim Abet, we'll see it tomorrow, says that there's another Mishnah, and they say that Mishnah, Shmuel explains, must be referring to a case where they did this harsha'ah, where they went in together. So therefore, you can't say our Mishnah isn't that way if the upcoming Mishnah is like that. Therefore, they say like this. Miseele le Rabbi Yanai. This supports what Rabbi Yanai says, or this could be supported by what Rabbi Yanai says. Da'ama Rabbi Yanai, if you have a case where there's Bechorin that got mixed up at birth, okay, and neither one, you don't know which one belongs to who, hukru'u lebasof nitarvu, if first you knew when they came out exactly who was who, but right away they got mixed up. So there was a moment where you knew who was a Bechor and who wasn't, you know, or who belonged to which family. Kotvin harsha'a zeleze. They could write a pact. Right? This doesn't even have to do with Bechor. This is, how are they going to inherit? So what do? They do a thing, they go together, and they each get 50% from each side. Okay? But, lo hukru levasof nitarvu, ein kotvin harsha'a zeh lazeh. You're actually not allowed to write a harsha'a in the case where it was never known from the beginning. There was no vada'ut ever. There was no time where they actually knew who you belonged to, and that would be like our case. In which case, since we don't know who's the Bechor, there's no way to ever get the Pishnayim, even al-Pi Harsha. And that's how you'd have to explain our Mishnah. Okay, now we're going to quickly finish up the next section, new Mishnah. Now we have the last two permutations. Remember, there were four options, Bechor l'nachala, not l'kohen. Lo Bechor l'... right, not Bechor l'nachala, yes Bechor l'kohen. Or both or neither. So, Ezu Bechor l'nachala v'l'kohen. This is a little simpler. Hamapelet shvir malei mayim, if the amniotic sac comes out and it's all just water. Malei dam, it's all just blood. Malei gninim, I don't know how they translate that. What's gninim?
Multicolored matter,
okay. Hamapelet kemin dagim v'chagavim shkatsim urimasim, right? That's different from, it looks like a beima. Here it looks more like a fish or a creepy crawler, something much less developed. Hamapelet liyom rabbaim, within 40 days of having conceived. Haba charehem b'chor l'nachala v'l'kohen. Okay, the next one, that doesn't even count at all. And the next one is therefore the Bechor for Nachala and Kohen. Yotze Dofen, v'haba charav, if it was born by C-section, and the one that came after, okay, not the one that was the first natural birth, Shnehem Einan Bechor lo l'nachala v'lo l'kohen. Neither not the Yotzei Dofen, the C-section, and not the one Shabbat Harav, is a Bechor L'Nachalav Alel Kohen. I'm just going to say as an aside, there's an interesting debate here about whether we're talking about twins or not. According to the Rambam in the Perashat Mishnah, he said that women generally don't survive C-sections. Mm-hmm. So it must be talking about twins, because how could you possibly have someone who has a C-section and then gives birth? And it's fascinating. And some of the Perashat Mishnah say, no, women can survive it. It's just interesting to see historically, in different times, obviously, there were certain societies where women made it through these things and where women didn't. So it's interesting. So Yotzei Dofen Vabal Harav, neither of them is a Bechor L'Nachalav L'Kohen, but Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, very interestingly, HaRishon L'Nachala, the first one gets Pishnaim, because Yotzei Dofen was have to do with Nachala, and the Sheni gets Chamesh Shla'im, because he's the first natural born child. Okay, so there's a Machloket. Now we're going to see what the issue is between them. Rishon L'Nachala Lo. Why is the Rishon of a C-section not going to be L'Nachala according to Tanakama? Because it says V'yaldulo. Okay, this is in the Psukim. We quoted some of them before the other day. Ki tiyena l'ish shtei nashim ha'achat ahuva ve'achat tznuah. If you have two wives, one you love, one you don't like. V'yaldulo banim. Ah, here you have it. And he has children, and then it proceeds to talk about the Nachala, that you can't give the Pishnaim to the woman that you love more, even right, if hers is not the Bechor. What do you learn from Yaldulo? That it needs to be a Leida Rigila, and a Yotzei Dofen is not going to be relevant for Nachala. So Yaldulo be'ina. Chamesh Shlaim Namilo, and that's much more obvious, because Peter Rechen be'ina. It needs to be the first coming out of the womb. C-section is not from the womb. Sheni l'nachala lo, the second one, now why is he not going to be considered l'nachala? Because reshito no be'inan, and he's not actually the firstborn. He doesn't have that feeling of the father toward his firstborn. And l'chamesh shla'im nami lo, why can't he be for chamesh shla'im? Because, what are we going to say? Kasavar b'chor l'davar achad lo have b'chor. Even if he's b'chor for one thing, we hold, okay, there's a machloket about this, we saw this in the past, that a b'chor l'davar achad, can he be considered a b'chor, if you're a b'chor for something, can you be considered a b'chor? Or do we say no, if you're a b'chor for one thing, meaning you were the first natural birth, according to this, you're not considered a b'chor in general. You can't be a b'chor l'davar achad, there's no such thing, and that's why he can't, the second one, doesn't have to do pidyon haben, because he's not a b'chor, he's not considered the first one to come out of the womb, he's considered the first one to come out of the womb, but that's the only one way he's a b'chor, that's not enough to consider him a b'chor, you basically get canceled out as a b'chor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaRishon L'Nachala V'Hashini L'Chamesh Shla'im, he's obviously going to have to disagree with that last point. So Rabbi Shimon L'Ta'ame Da'amar Teled, when he says it says Teled, okay, this is in Vayikra, when it says in Nikeva Teled Utmeyash Shvuayim Kinidata, he says there, the Dmei Leida and all that, when it says Teled, it means L'Rabot Yosei Dofen, any kind of Leida, doesn't matter, C-section or not C-section, right, natural birth or not natural birth, any type of birth is considered Teled, which means that when it says V'Yaldulo, it means any kind of birth. And therefore, l'rabot yotzei dofen, v'sheni l'chamesh shla'im. Now, obviously, you can't say that by peter rechem. So what would you say? By peter rechem, the second one is actually the first to come out of the womb. And he claims it's chayav in chamesh shla'im. Why? Kasavar, he obviously holds on the other end of that machloket, b'chor l'davar achad, have b'chor. You can be a b'chor for one thing, and since this b'chor is a b'chor peter rechem, he's going to be considered a b'chor l'inyan chamesh shla'im, and therefore he's chayav in pidyon haben, according to Rabbi Shimon.